Welcome back to Get With The Programming. I'm Chase Ingram.
I'm Captain America.
And along with me is Bill Grundler.
Wolverine.
And Mr. John Young.
That is right, I did it! Another five! Are you kidding me? That's right! Who do you think you are? I am!
It really is. It's perfect.
It's so good. It's so good.
It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Great. Welcome to Inside the Leaderboard, everyone. The Open is over. Scores should, is it tonight? Final approval of getting scores validated. I believe it's Wednesday night, 5 p.m. Pacific time.
Dude, I panicked on that. I always panic like Tuesday night. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. I had a panic. I got the email or the message and I'm like, oh no.
Yeah.
I didn't validate scores. All like three of them. that run through my garage.
How did 24.3 go for you guys?
Bill's was better than mine.
I know Bill's crushed it.
I would say for me, it was a huge win overall, right? So like outside of what the score, right, the number of repetitions I got, because my score did not involve a time, is the fact that I did 50 chest to bar pull-ups, which was 50 more than I've done in the last 15, 16 months. And bar muscle-ups.
Pain-free?
Pain-free, yeah. I was telling Bill, it was, I think it was Monday when we were recapping 24.3, is that the thrusters, especially being in that rack position, was harder on my shoulder than the pull-ups or bar muscle-ups. I was just very fatigued. The strength and stamina of a movement that you don't do anymore. Who knew, right? We fail at the margins of our experience, and I have not experienced any type of butterfly, any type of kip, and any type of real hang from the pull-up rig in a very long time. So overall, huge win. The soreness is just about gone from my body, even though I did it on Friday.
Oh shit. That's funny.
Yeah. So
that's funny.
Beat Tia and Brooke.
Yeah, that's true. Beat Tia and Brooke.
Dude, besides stepping on our toes yesterday with our show, you piece of shit.
John Young and Hiller just scooping up everything.
I went back and watched you guys. It was impressive that both of you guys put your video on the line like that and picked apart and watched what it was. And I thought it was interesting because, I mean, you're right. The weights, depending on who you were, could be really light and it's going to make athletes go really, really fast. And so that was one of the issues with lighter weights, especially for better athletes. But the camera angle stuff that you guys were doing, especially like on Hiller's.
It's crazy how much of a difference it made.
And that is something, and he mentioned it without really mentioning it, that's one of those loopholes in the game, is you can find an angle where you look okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So like that's part of the online qualifier deal is, okay, yeah, you have your home court advantage, you got your best bar, you have the one that spins the best, you have the weights that bounce a little bit better or they don't bounce, and then you have your camera angle to find out just where you need to be. And I thought it was really interesting, the different camera angles, especially on Hiller's, and even yours. I mean, you had straight in the front, and that right there was like, okay, hopefully everyone understood. Don't ever shoot yourself from low straight at yourself like that, because
it's crazy. Like my squat, like I feel very confident in saying my squat is beautiful. Like it's all the way down, and like my, just the way I'm built, like I'm built to squat, like everything is great. And the way it's shot, man, I mean, it looks like it's right at parallel. And I'm like, guys, I promise you.
Yeah.
I've never been to a competition like, or that. And that's also something I didn't say on Hiller's video. Cause like, I have a habit of trying to go too fast and either like short stroking a front squat at the top or like having soft elbows with thrusters, as I think a lot of people do.
Yeah.
We looked for yours, Bill, and we couldn't find it.
Well, I'm not going to put it up there. Shit. I'm not going to put it up there. And it's the thing is it like, I'm just doing it the open for me. Right. I'm not even on the worldwide leaderboard.
What?
I'm only in the 55 division. That is it.
Oh yeah. Because even though you did all the workouts,
even though I did them all on there, it doesn't matter because I'm in this other division. So like, I'm just playing for me. But the dumbbell snatch one, I put the last 9 rep, dude, I got slammed by people. And it's like, I get it. I mean, okay, it's, oh, you're not standing up all the way. And I think something that is very hard to say, and you guys talked about it on your show with Hiller, was a race is a race, and you will always skirt the line in a race. Everybody does in every single race. It doesn't mean that you're cheating, but it means that you're going to try to find the shortest distance between two points within the realm that you're given. And I mean, me and Chase have talked about this so many times in a live competition. Like, I will play to my judge. And if they let me go, why the fuck am I going to go another extra 3 inches deeper if I don't need to? Until the head judge comes around, and then I'll rest. I'll just hang out. I'll wait until they leave.
Now, you know, I didn't do that to skirt anything. I did that so that this guy just wouldn't just come over me and give me 50 extra kettlebell swings in the middle of it.
But it was interesting. I mean, I thought that... It was interesting to see some of the speeds at which some of these athletes could go. It was just unreal. I mean, whether they were skirting the line or not. I mean,
and I would say, like, impressive. You look at somebody like Adler or Colton Mertens, like, insane. These are some of the fastest times in the world, and every single rep is perfect.
The easiest job at the CrossFit Games was to judge Rich Froning or Matt Fraser.
100%. Right.
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 Like, it was the easy. Everyone's like, oh, I'd hate. I was like, that's who I want to judge, because they never had to put themselves in a position to skirt the line or ride the line. I don't mean skirt the line to go around. It's like ride it, right? Like, just, it's like trying to do fast wall ball shots. The only way you can happen is like, if I don't squat the foot below parallel that I normally do, then just like an inch below parallel than I normally do. So, that was always a thing. And yeah, that's the hard part about online competition. And that just comes with the territory. And we had this conversation last year, Bill, is like, until you start enforcing hard rules and hard lines, then those lines will stay blurred forever. Because if you blur the way you assess penalties or don't assess penalties, it keeps the line even more blurred as we do these online competitions.
Yeah. And the other thing, it's like, you know, even though, John, when you and Hiller were looking at your videos, there is not any judge at any time in any live competition that is able to slow the video down and stop it frame by frame to see exactly if there was, like, you don't have that. So there's going to be an element of like, okay, well, that was pretty fucking close.
Yeah.
And that's got to be okay. Now, the problem is when you have hundreds of thousands of people that are out competing, they're trying to go fast. And you know, Jeffrey up at the top was talking about my snatches being iffy. Fine.
Like, a lot of me wants to be like, let's see your snatches, Jeffrey. Like
it's kind of, you know, I mean, yeah, kind of, but like, I like, whatever. Like, everyone, it's so easy to talk shit on everybody's movements, and that's fine.
You just got to go slower like me.
I mean, right. I mean, I guess there's that. But, you know, whatever. I didn't want to. It's again, I don't think that, generally speaking, people aren't trying to cheat. You know, I don't think that, like, John, when yours were, if it's not like you were like, well, fuck these guys, I'm going to show them, I'm going to cheat every rep, or, mm-mm, you know, yeah, or even some of the bad ones. It's not that people are trying to do that. Some people are, granted. Trevor Brockmeyer, whatever that guy's name was.
Yeah, John, do you know who that is?
Yeah, he's the jump rope loop.
All right, yep. I'm just making sure.
Okay, just checking.
And he's got his, like, Instagram has like a million followers.
Now, dude, he's blown up.
What?
He's like, super mega famous.
Oh,
now.
No, he bought all those, Bill.
Oh, okay.
Dude.
If you look at his likes versus his following or whatever, like, it's called Strength Works, if y'all want to check it out.
Funny.
Yeah, every single workout, essentially, he's like, here's me doing the workout. I would have had a world record, but I just decided not to, you know, post it because I don't want people to. And I'm like, okay, bro. Like,
it's crazy. And he went from, like, you know, nice chiropractor guy, PT guy, whatever, to now I'm all hard and we're hard and my daughter doesn't deserve to wear this T-shirt, you know, that says strong, hard, whatever, until she earns it. And it's like, oh, dude.
So he went like the who's the freaking caveman dude?
The Liver King?
The Liver King. So he went the Liver King route. Because people forget, like, Liver King was just a failed fake regionals athlete in my era. And then he just turned into this.
And you can always tell who those guys are. I find it kind of funny. There was a, I should post it in the chat. Nobody ever talks about this guy, but like, he looks like a strong man. Like I was watching 2016 regionals or something like that. Don't ask me why. It's what I do when I'm bored in the bathtub or something.
Bathtub? I just got a sick vision right now.
Yeah. No. Calm down. It was the year they did Randy, and then they did the rope climbs and the thruster.
Tommy V.
It was another hero workout, but like that was the year. And I forget this guy's name. I'll have to look it up again. But he had like a Viking braid, and he looked like a Viking. He looked like Brock Lesnar out there. I'm like, how the freak did this dude do that? Because like he was last place in every single event except the hang snatch.
Mm.
Every single event. And then you go look at who qualified, and he was like fourth.
Right.
Out of 40 people
who
qualified. And I'm like, and nobody ever talks about him. We talk about like the historic people like Trevor Bachmeier, or, you know, there's people that like fill up their wall ball says is 10 pounds and it was really 20 pounds. Yeah. And like this guy had to have cheated so hard, and nobody ever talks about him. I'll bring him up to see if you guys know, like in the thread.
There was a girl in the Central East Regional. It was at 2014.
Yeah.
Who could not do pull-ups. Like, we're watching the workout, and she can't do a pull-up.
It's like, and we had those in the open.
Yeah, those were in the open, and they were chest to bar, and you can't do a pull-up. It was wild.
I still feel like there's stuff like that that's rampant, because every qualifier I've ever done, and Bill, you're, you know, a little bit different level, different age group, a different level. So like you might could attest to this too. Every qualifier I ever do, I'm so much worse than what I am in live competition.
Yeah.
Like my the Fittest Experience qualifier, I was like 92nd, and I ended up being 30th or 33rd or something. If my run time would have counted, I would have been top 20. But I'm 90.
John keeps the receipts.
But I'm 92nd in the qualifier. How does that happen? Mm-hmm. I don't understand how that happens.
I think that's just part of the, gig. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's always going to be that the home court advantage. I mean, you can always slight something.
Mm-hmm.
And because there, until we get to a point where if you are doing an online qualifier and every video has to be put up and has to be judged, thumb up, thumb down, whatever, until that happens, that will always be in there.
Well,
always.
That is a part of the system which we're working within. For our Inside the Leaderboard show and Strength of Field, because that was one of the concerns raised, is managing the volume of people in the open and how important it is. Because if you do this system that we're going to unveil for you guys that we've been doing for the last several weeks, is that it has to be right, it has to be regulated, and it has to be judged from start to finish. We'll do a show probably in our break between now and quarterfinals of a way to actually make that whole system a reality. Because the way we're working with it now is like we're just working in the, I would say, a best-case scenario honor system evaluation. But there's a way to legitimize this that some have projected it to be too hard to manage with a small team as far as judging open workouts and quarterfinal workouts all the way through to get the right top 100. And I was like, challenge accepted. And I figured it out. So we'll do a show of how to actually implement this in a very easy way that can be crowdsourced with people, filtered through. Everyone gets judged, and we can make an actual legitimate top 100 for the Open and quarterfinal. So if you guys are just joining the show for the first time, welcome to Inside the Leaderboard. We are going to go through our Get With the Programming Strength of Field system for semifinals as the games have it. In fact, I guess after this Open, we could have a new top 100 for CrossFit's worldwide rankings, because they do it as a ever-moving two-year span. So after the Open, they'll rescore everything based off who registered for what over the last 2 years post-Open. So it all shifts up one qualifier competition, and we may get a new top 100 next week. That's I'm sure Mike will figure it out before the end of the show. or Barkley, one of those guys will do it. But with our system, we have it in real time. It's as we go from week to week, we're going to take the top 100. Now that we have 3 weeks of the Open done, half of our year as far as our strength of field for the semifinals is set. So we'll do a little recap after 24.2 for you guys just joining us. And these are our worldwide semifinals. You've got 7 around the world. This will look at the men we removed after week 2. So this is something important to remember. After week 2, these were the 3 men that were in the top 100 worldwide in the Open. Noah Olsen, Chandler Smith, and Philip Muscarella. That's East, West, and West for North America that will be removed from our top 100 because team athletes who are going team should not affect the individual strength of field for semifinals. CrossFit keeps them in. We are taking them out. And your top 100 after week 2 of the Open. So this is after 24.2. North America East was at 33. North America West gained 1 and moved up to 20. We've said it's usually about 3 to 4 athletes in or out that can give or take away a game's qualifying spot. In our system, every semifinal gets 1. The remaining 33 spots to the CrossFit Games divvied up through semifinals would be using the DeHaan method that CrossFit does, so this is not a far detraction of what they do. But 3 down in Oceania, 1 down in Asia, Africa still has 0, South America held steady at 6 and 33. And after 24.2 last week, your men on the bubble, a few in Oceania, Europe, and South America. Now we said, here's what's wild, okay? How many spots did North America gain in the top 100 on the East for the men? Do you guys remember that last slide? It was 5. North America West had only gained 1, but both went up 1 spot. So it's not just 3 from the bottom, right? You could have maybe, you've got your 1 extra spot, but you still had 3 guys that weren't getting that extra spot you needed based off the calculation, so you just needed 1 more. And that's what happened in the West for North America. They gained 1 person, just 1, in the top 100, and they got a whole extra spot. North America East took 5, and they only gained 1 extra spot, right? Asia lost their 1, Oceania lost their 1, and those spots remaining. South America had 3, and the Europe men had 12. So that's what happened for the men's side after 24.2. On the women's side, more athletes were removed. So after 24.2, Matilda Garnes, Jamie Simmons is out. They're going team. Kristen Holta was in the top 100. She's retired, so she won't be competing. Christy Hollard out of Oceania, she's going team. Cara Saunders, Marnie Sykes, Emily Rathwill, and Maria Longforsch. Those are all taken out of the top 100 after 24.2. And this is the wild one. If anybody remembers from last week, 50 of the 100 women in the top 100 are out of Europe. They added 7 more after 24.2. North America East gained another 5. North America West lost 4, and they were only down to 10. 10 women in the top 100 worldwide are only coming out of the West at the moment. South America lost all their 4. They're at 0. Africa's at 0. Oceania lost 2 at 10. Asia lost 2 at sitting at 2. So remember, Europe went up 7. North America East went up 5. North America West down 4. And so as we see what the DeHaan method brought out is that, I still think it's wild, 4 women on the cut line. With the 7 added in Europe, that added another 2 qualifying spots where Europe is sitting at 18 CrossFit Games qualifying spots for their semifinals after 24.2.
That is insane.
North America, right? They only gained, what was it, 7? God, let me remember what that was. Back here, they gained 5, okay? So they gained the same number of spots as the men did, but they got 2 because of the total volume they have in the West, where the men only got 1. North America West lost another spot. They only have 4, which is 1 less than what they're given by CrossFit right now. CrossFit's giving the West 5, and after 2 weeks, West is performing at a 4. what you think about that. Oceania down one. They're at four. South America, Africa, and Asia all have one. And so that's how it stands after 24.2 for the men and the women, which is where we sit. Now, that was based off two workouts that were very accessible, right? Top to bottom, a lot of speedsters, a lot of engine, a lot of light work, a lot of softness if you're John Young. I don't know if he still holds true to that, but let's take
yeah,
a look.
Yeah, he does.
100%.
At what happened after 24.3 came down the pipeline. So we are finishing up full top 100 post-open, 3 weeks of competition with the wonderful 24.3, which was five rounds, 10 thrusters at 95, 10 chest to bar pull-ups, rest a minute, five rounds, seven thrusters at 135 and 95, and seven bar muscle-ups. If you guys are just joining us, we will go through the actual rankings pre-open. We went through that. The top 100 distributed after 24.3, how it looks like with our system as we do the DeHaan Games spots projections using our system. Overall, after each week of the Open and quarterfinals, so once we finish the Open here, the top 100 from the Open will be locked worldwide in our system, taking out team and Masters athletes and retired athletes because they could potentially still be competing, but we will not be using them because they will not be at semifinals in person. And then once we finish the Open, you keep the top 100, and then your finishing place worldwide in the Open will be averaged on how you finish in the two submission windows at quarterfinals. These are our seven regions around the world: Asia, Africa, Europe, Oceania, South America, North America, East, and West. Athletes removed after 24.3. We have added two more men to the list. It was originally three after week two. It's now five. Noah Olson, Philip Muscarella, Josh Alchama, Chandler Smith, and Royce Dunn made their way into the top 100 after 3 weeks of the Open. They will be removed from our top 100. So as it looks for the men, after 3 weeks of the Open, Europe has gained four after week two. They're sitting at 37 of the 100 spots overall for the men in the top 100 using our system. North America East gained one. North America West lost two. After 24.2, they had gained one. And what else did they get with that one extra that they gained at the 24.2? They gained a whole nother games qualifying spot after just one. Now they've lost two, so we'll have to see what happens there. South America went up one. Africa still has zero. Asia lost their one, so they're at zero. Oceania dropped three spots after the Open. Outside looking in, your top 100 cut line at 101 through 104. Now, these numbers are because we've taken out five, so they're not exactly sitting in those 100 spots. So based off the five that we have, you've got two men from the East inside the top 100, one from the West. Oh, hey, this is our Trayvon Benton, Mr. John Young. That was our savior pick from Wadapalooza when we won as our duo two years ago.
Yeah, on the lift.
Look at that, Dre Strom. Old Dre Strom just sitting there in the top 100 in the world, just reluctantly still being fit as hell. That's fantastic.
For that GHD workout.
Yeah. All right. Now, outside looking in, let's take a look at this. Two men from South America are on the outside of the top 100 looking in, knowing we have quarterfinals coming. So if you're in South America and you're looking at old Philemon Souza and William Rios, you're like, hey, boys, we need you to get your ass in the top 100 because we need another spot to the CrossFit Games. Jacob Wheeler out of Oceania. North America East, Bill Leahy. Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill. We had one after 24.2. Now we just potentially lost our game spot. Quarterfinals, read the rules, follow the directions, and get your ass back in the top 100. So let's see what the game spots are looking like after the 2024 Open for the men. And here's what we thought. We thought you lost two in North America West. You lost your one spot again that you got back after week two. Europe, you got two. Where'd the other one come from? Oceania, back down to two spots only. And South America has three. So in this system, when only one spot is guaranteed and the 33 are up for grabs based off real-time performance in the opening quarterfinals, South America has an opportunity to get more spots in a way that they would have never had an opportunity otherwise.
Which is huge, man. We've never seen anything like that. That is amazing in of its own. But Africa won, Asia won, Oceania two, four spots out of half the world of countries that you would normally think you would have more than that. Like Oceania, especially, you'd think you'd have a little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm.
But damn, Europe and America East.
Yes, I feel bad for the Oceania men.
It's crazy.
Now here's what I'm going to say though, and this just goes into like, people need to compete, I guess, more, better. We go look at the 14th guy in Europe. I guarantee that guy is not as good as the third or the fourth guy in Oceania.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's check it out. We have the leaderboard right now, don't we?
Yeah, I can check it out. Let me see. Let's do some looking at the leaderboard. Do you want to look at the Open?
It's the second for the Open, because that's all we're basing it on right now.
All right, hang on a sec. Let me see. View tab. No.
Well, I was just, I thought we'd look at what was semifinals was last year.
Okay. Yeah. I can definitely do that.
Qualifier to the
game. Oh, yeah.
And which region did we want to look at?
Europe and Oceania.
Oceania.
Yeah. Everyone's saying I'm putting a Latin flair on Oceania. That's how it's freaking spelled. It's an Oceania.
You kind of have you could put another syllable on there sometimes.
IA. It's IA at the end. Is nobody else reading? IA, how would you say how do you say it?
How do you say California?
Yeah. California. Oceania. California.
Yeah, but you say Oceania sometimes.
Oceania. What? California, Oceania. How am I saying that wrong? I'm confused. I'm saying it right. I've decided. See,
it's okay. I'm good.
You just told all of us to fuck off. That was
fun. Everybody just, yeah.
I'm saying it right. You guys are saying it wrong.
You guys are saying it wrong. Fuck all you guys. All right. Who are we looking at? Oceania?
I got gypped in heat one. It's all good.
All right. Men. Here we go. Share this tab for everybody. Men. What do we say? They only have two? Bailey Martin, Jay Crouch are your only representatives.
Jake Douglas is the one that doesn't make it.
Jake doesn't make it. Now, it's not like he did a whole bunch.
I guess I take it back. I was thinking like Ricky, Royce, Jay, Baden Brown, Bailey Martin.
Well, okay, so let's go back to South America because they've got an extra one, and we said this last time we had them on, is who got third that everybody wanted to see at the games again?
Yep.
Emil Harris. And they're not getting another spot. In the system that it is now, they're just not. No one else is getting, like, South America, Africa, Asia are not getting extra spots. They just don't have the athletes. Not they don't need it. That's a different argument. It's the fact that they don't even have an opportunity.
Who is 14th in Europe?
Ooh, 14th in Europe.
Victor Hoffer?
Oh, man. So 12. So they had 11. That was the original. And they get Colin Bossard, Victor Hoffer, and Luka Vunjak, who happens to be at the top. Is he in the top three after the Open so far?
I don't think so.
Let me see. He's pretty close.
No, but I think
top five
ahead of him.
So those are the three extra men that would have gone.
He had I think the second best time in the world on one of the workouts.
I mean, he's built for this year's Open. The programming, this guy is just a micro machine.
He's like shorter than Colton.
I don't know if he's shorter.
No, that's Cale Layman.
Oh, that's who it was.
No, this guy's small too.
He's not shorter than Colton, bro.
One of the guys
can't go on half the rides at an amusement park.
You were talking about someone that was like 5 foot.
Yeah, that's Cale Layman.
Okay. All right. So yeah, that's for the men. Yeah,
I think Luka Vunjak probably does better than Jake Douglas at the games.
Yes, I could see that. All right. On to the women. Athletes removed. Top 100 after 3 weeks of the Open. Cara Saunders, Christy Hollard, Jamie Simmons, Matilda Garnes, Emily Rethwill, Maria Longforce, Marnie Sykes, Kristen Holta. So how many is that? Eight? Nine? Eight. Eight women versus five men removed from the individual strength of field. Top 100.
There we go.
Europe taking lost their one.
One by one. Let's
Europe,
go.
Europe only Great lost their one. North America East lost two. The West is rallying. The West women are rallying. They got plus two.
Go, ladies.
Asia, four. They got plus two after the Open. This is awesome. Africa has zero. Oceania lost two. South America gained their one. So a lot of shifting on the women's side, a bit more than the men. Now we'll have to see if these numbers come into play with that. But let's see who's on the outside looking in. Three, four European women inside the cut line of the top 100. Only one on the outside. East has one. South America has another opportunity to get another spot. And then Oceania has two. This is not Haley Adams, by the way. I asked Halpin this. I'm like, did you miss? He's like, nope, there's apparently an Australian version that has an extra Y in there.
But, you know, North America East will have another one because Alexis Raptis will very likely be in the top 100 after quarterfinals.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think, what was she, four spots out after 24.2, if I remember? Yeah. So still didn't crack the top 100 after the third week of the Open. And then you have Georgia Davenport out of Europe, outside the top 100. And North America West got their one back that they had lost last week. So the two athletes they bumped up into the top 100 got them in a whole new games qualifying spots. North America East, I think they only lost one, and they lost a spot with that. Europe is unchanged. It's still 18 spots. South America, Africa with one. Asia got an extra spot. So the two they got after the Open gave them a whole nother qualifying spot for the CrossFit Games, and Oceania is back down to their three that they originally have from CrossFit's Games allocation. This is with the two that they've earned based off the one that we were given. So no change for Europe. They only lost one, but we've seen one can change how that goes up. North America West gets five. North America East gets 10. But Asia getting that extra one spot after the Open.
Yeah, I'm proud of Asia.
That is, well, I mean, it's great for them because you want to be able to have that. You want them to be able to have the opportunity. This is one of the things we've talked about. Get the opportunity to be able to get people to compete, to get those extra spots, not just, well, we think you deserve X amount.
It right. proves that the system works because Asia finally got fit enough to get that extra one.
Right. And part of the fanfare, part of the excitement is that it's real time. You have an opportunity to earn more spots. Nothing's deserved. Everything is earned in this system. It's like, oh, well, we deserve three. I'm like, clearly you don't. Ocean is sitting at three. Right? So at CrossFit gives them now. They've gotten two based off their performance in the Open. But a lot of what they're losing is because of a lot of their team athletes this year are in the top 100 as it currently stands. Which in the real time, depending on how they registered, if they do individual quarterfinals, I'm talking about like Cara, Emily, Jamie, those athletes, Marnie. If they sign up for individual quarterfinals, their scores could potentially count and maybe get them an extra spot because we're taking one away right now, mm-hmm. which is part of it, right? That's not something we believe should be in the strength of field when team athletes or masters athletes or retired athletes who aren't even competing this year can get your semifinal extra game spots when they won't be competing there in person.
Yeah. I have a question. How many people do you think Europe has to have before we start going East Europe, West Europe, and Ooh. We just make America one?
That's a good question. Ooh.
Now we're talking about relegation, like soccer. Right.
Because right. currently Europe has more than all of North America.
I mean, right? Let's go back to the top 100. Europe has 49, North America has 38.
Half, yeah.
Half.
Well, combined, I'm putting combined, yeah. North America combined 38 total in the top 100. Europe alone, 49. And maybe that could be a thing. You want to add an extra element if you want to have some carryover from one year to the next? If you get more than 50% of the athletes coming out of your region, maybe you deserve two the next year and the other regions get one. Imagine that.
Would it
now, where would you draw those lines though?
Well, the other thing is, this is like, would it even matter if like you go to your semifinal and of the 40 that are there, 25 get to go anyway? Mm-hmm. Like maybe you wouldn't have to cut.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't matter, but it just makes the chart look prettier.
It's true.
And like it's not like, wow, Europe is just killing everybody. It's, well,
okay,
like,
so
Europe is good enough that Europe gets two different regions, right?
They have,
I would just say Germany to the west.
So I've got another one for you that we didn't even touch on yet. They have 49 women in the top 100. They're only 40 of those get to go to semifinals. Think about that.
Oh, dang.
You have more women in the top 100 in the world than you have semifinal qualifying spots.
There you go. That would be the reason. That would be the reason why. That would be the reason why then. Because West gets 40 and East gets 40 for North America. That would be the reason why. Wow, Chase. That was a great thought, because that just made it exactly what it needed to be there.
Right.
Halpin wrote, Eastern and Western Europe could get dicey. That's a good point. We maybe want to...
No, you want to talk about rivalries?
Not repeat.
The wall
well, we're right. thinking more like East happen. Germany, West
Build
Germany.
The wall.
Put the wall back up. Put the wall back up.
It's already
up.
There. Just continue the lines, right? Split Germany in half and just go north and south from there.
And I mean, I don't think it would be that hard, really. I think you just... Germany would be east... And then anything west of Germany is west. And then you just make that line down the middle. That way, east or west would get France, Spain, mm-hmm. UK. And then West Europe would probably be better than East Europe. But I still think it'd be kind of balanced.
Well, and not that it has to.
I think it'd be more balanced in north versus south. Because I feel like northern Europeans.
Can't go north versus south.
It's just, it's so top heavy.
Well, shit, the North America's top heavy. Well, side heavy.
Side heavy.
You know what I mean? I mean, so you have the same, it doesn't have to be where you're splitting it exactly, you know, trying to make it whatever, 25 on each side.
Honestly, where y'all have the line right now where that 49 going down, just I mean, that looks pretty good.
But yeah, that is wild, right? You get 40 semifinal spots, and you have
that point right there is massive.
Europe,
yeah,
right.
That point is massive.
Now, again, this is just halfway through our season, our strength of field season, but
Europe,
it's just wild. And this is outside of what we're talking about today, but this was a topic that came on Talk Lean Fitness's Death By about moving Rogue to Europe. If that is a good idea, I'm like, clearly. As it stands, at least after 3 weeks during the Open, Europe is a more competitive region, is the
men
most competitive region in the world for both men and women, right? Yeah. They have the most between both men and women.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good move for
I think
good move for Rogue.
Yeah. I think where people get messed up in that statement is like the top of the top is not from Europe as far as like the winners have not been. Other than the Icelandic
but
women,
this is strength of field, but not best athletes in the field.
It's the most competitive region. It's just their peak people are not as good as what America's has shown to be, at least in the men's side. And the women have just been all around the world.
And so, yeah, that's the Open. So what we're going to do is we look at this, we tack it on, and going into quarterfinals, this is what it looks like for the women's games qualifying spots using our system for the strength of field. And Europe, almost half the people competing get to go as it stands right now.
That's crazy.
But But this is important because then we see this swing from what happens in the open to what happens in quarterfinals. And with quarterfinals coming up in a couple weeks, right? Registration opens on April 1st for quarterfinals. It's going to be a 6-day competition for the individuals. They'll have two submission windows. It's basically going to go from Wednesday to Monday. So that submission window, if you go half and half, would potentially be on a Saturday. We don't know how many events it's going to be, but what we'll have is we'll have a pre-show of where everybody stands. It'll look a lot like what we just went through, but it'll just recap what we're doing. But we'll look more at what those top 100 look like. Maybe we'll go further down than just five, because a lot can happen. It's either going to be five or six events. If it's 3 days and 3 days, it could be three and three based off.
I would like if it was six events, like if you have 6 days and six events. I don't like that they gave that extra day if it's still five events.
Yeah. And here's what's going to be the exciting part when we do our quarterfinals pre-show for Inside the Leaderboard is that team quarterfinals go off the week before.
I want to see. It'll be interesting to see how many people really come off the leaderboard with that.
So now we'll have, right now we're just like, these are people we know are going team. There are others that are going team we may not officially know yet, and they may be on the fence. But after quarterfinals, we are going to have a very, very good idea of who's in and who's out on the team side. So we may have 15 men or women out of the top 100 when we look at our strength of field. So I'm excited to have this go down. And then we'll look at the pre-show for quarterfinals. So these are our numbers after the open. We may know, we may have new numbers before the quarterfinals even starts. We're almost guaranteed it. We're going to have new numbers than what we finish with, which we'll talk about that. We'll have one show at the halfway point of quarterfinals and then another show at the end, and we'll unveil our final rankings there. And then we'll do one more before semifinals start when we know who's in and actually who's out of these semifinals. So we have a lot more things coming on our Inside the Leaderboard show as we work towards quarterfinals. So I'm pumped. Gosh.
What's going to be interesting is like the talk has always been, at least going into this year, that the Open is supposed to be the all-inclusive, and then we get down to business in quarterfinals. So I wonder if that the programming, it'll be interesting to see if the programming changes how those numbers start to flesh out. We've only had three scores. We're going to have six scores now, and ideally they're going to be more difficult, more technical, heavier.
Yeah, I hope they don't include anybody.
Right. I mean, they shouldn't, because again, like this is the point where we go from thousands of people to 40.
Mm-hmm. I think we should start an event with one snatch at 275 and then have it be whatever you want to be. But it, just starts, John. It starts with one rep of that.
The one thing I will look forward to for our pre-show for quarterfinals is we should know the events. Like if we do it that Wednesday, right? If all the events get released once the submissions open, which is what they've traditionally done whenever that happens, they've released all the events. We can go event by event and maybe predict.
Yeah, make predictions. Right? That would be fun.
Hey, who's going to get, based off these three together, this looks, based off what we saw in the open, is like, man, these are burners. After submission window one, Europe might have 16. Who knows?
Right. Yeah.
So that'll be really fun. Well, hey, we don't have anything to predict. The open is over. We did our analyzing of the programming yesterday. Bill and I did, as we looked at the programming itself from the,
bone to pick with that, by the way.
Oh, yes, please.
Oh, dang.
Listen, when you're doing thumbs, you got two thumbs, one and a half thumb, one thumb, one thumb down, and then two thumbs down. Okay.
That's your scale.
1.15 thumbs. No, you either. And one thumb means you like it.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, like, I want to see y'all give a thumbs down to somebody.
We have given thumbs down.
We have slammed. Yeah. We've slammed the CrossFit events.
Yes. The Open did not deserve a thumbs down.
Okay.
Yeah. The Open did not deserve a thumbs down.
We got to get rid of this 1.15 thumbs.
We found it actually much harder to do it less than, so we started putting like tenths in there.
Right.
So. But John, anytime, you're welcome anytime, and you can give your 6-point thumb decisions anytime you want. But.
Okay.
But that'll do it for Inside the Leaderboard. Thank you guys so much for rolling with us. We hope you enjoyed the system that we've created. We hope you're just as excited as we are week in and week out, and that's something that we may be able to build on in the future, especially after We have a show of how to actually implement this. That is easy way to judge, easy way to manage, and an exciting way to actually have the leaderboard reflect this. With one simple click, I'm just giving you guys a teaser. One simple click will fix all of this. It'll make it much easier. So thank you, Eaton. Appreciate that. Appreciate that for having John on the show.
Look at what you bring to the show, John. Look at that.
Yes, John, I appreciate that $5,
but thank you.
Appreciate everything you got, all the time you've given us throughout the Open, and we look forward to quarterfinals. So that's it for Inside the Leaderboard from the Open. We hope you guys have a great rest of your week. Submissions will be finalized tonight. We'll know who's moving on to quarterfinals. I believe, Bill, you made it. John,
yeah.
And myself for both. So I guess I got to do it.
Chase?
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Do what you can.
I'll do what I can. I put a barbell in my hand on Monday and yesterday. And that's
exciting.
Yeah, it was good. It didn't look good.
I have a question for you. Who do you think will be better than who? Me and Bill.
Ooh, in quarterfinals?
Yeah.
Did who beat who in the Open?
Oh, Bill by landslide.
But if it's a 275 snatch,
yeah,
I'm not playing.
Yeah. Post videos, Chase. Yeah, I'll video him.
Dude, you know what? Out way more. You would get me on. You're going to get me.
I'm asking Chase. I believe I'll get you too. But I'm asking.
I don't know, man. I can't bet against Bill. This guy does stupid things.
Listen, no. Our aerobically, Bill is much fitter.
How out of shape do you guys think I am? I'm almost willing to put myself into this trio. Jeez.
Never. It Dave's
between
best.
Chase and that Dave
is feeling so bad.
God bless.
The only thing would be a deadlift. That's it. Yeah. That's it.
Well, even that, I will horribly injure myself not to lose a Dave to anything. All right, just for that, I'm going to put my name in the hat with these three.
Okay,
you want or to us
side
three.
By side by side,
side by side by
videos?
Side. Yeah, that's it. I'm pissed off. Now I'm going to rage train for 3 weeks and probably get myself hurt. And then,
all right, bring on the bench press.
Yeah. All right, guys, we got to bounce. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for rolling with Inside the Leaderboard with us here at Get With The Programming. You guys have a great rest of your week. Have a wonderful weekend. Those of you guys that made quarterfinals, congratulations. Those of you that didn't, congratulations. You signed up. You figured out where you're at. And maybe next year you'll be a little bit better. All right. Take care.
My name is Tyler.
That's the wrong button.
I am awesome.
Rest in peace to Tyler.
He's not here right
he's
now.
He's not here right now.
You got the wrong name.
So he's not awesome. All right. Nice try.